The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just a wedding planner, tearing it up. Listen, learn,
plan that wedding.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez. Welcome to the official kickoff of wedding season 2024. That is right. It is March. And at least here in the United States, March is the official start to wedding season. This episode in particular is focusing on the final phase of wedding planning. In my opinion, based on over 20 years as a wedding planner, there are three phases of wedding planning. In January of this year, I devoted the entire month to the first phase of planning, which started with episode number 392 titled, How to Start Wedding Planning, Your First Steps. In February, I devoted the entire month to the middle phase of planning. You'll want to listen to episode number 399, the middle phase of planning. And now here we are, episode number 401, the final phase of wedding planning. So if you are listening a little out of order, that's cool. That's what happens when you find a podcast and you start listening. And plus, I like a person who studies ahead to know what to expect. The final phase of wedding planning is usually the last 3 months. Like if you think about most people will plan their weddings usually a year out. I mean, it could be 6 months, 9 months, a year out. I mean, I've even, you know, worked with people who are like, yeah, we want to get married in 3 months. But on average, it takes about a year, and most couples take a year to plan their weddings. So if we took that year, the last 3 to 4 months would be this last phase of wedding planning. So a few things you should know that I offer in particular before we jump into this episode, because I have learned that a lot of my listeners are not aware of the wedding planning services that I do provide. I don't do a lot of traditional wedding planning anymore. I mean, I really only will take on a handful of like traditional wedding planning clients here in California, but I still do. What I've learned over the years of doing this podcast is you all are on a tight budget and you need virtual help. So number one, if you are a paid premium subscriber of this podcast, you already have access to some really valuable tools that I've designed specifically to support you through this last phase of planning. And those are two mini courses, the wedding day schedule mini course and the ceremony layout mini course. And these include video lessons where I walk you through each step along with my tools you can download and use at your own pace. So those are yours automatically as a premium subscriber included with your subscription. The second thing, for an even more comprehensive guide, I have an entire full digital course called the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass. Some people choose to buy the whole bundle, which is all three phases of planning. And then I also have it available for purchase just per phase of planning. So chapter three is the last phase of planning, and it includes six mini courses. So the two that you have free as a subscriber plus four more. So it's the entirety of this last phase of planning. And those, again, it's video tutorials, spreadsheets, templates, checklists, everything you need that are all my tools that I've been using over these decades to plan your wedding. And because it's a digital course, it's yours. You do it at your own pace. And then lastly, I run regular live wedding planning boot camps on Zoom. And these are super fun. They are interactive with me. There's one that's entirely dedicated to this final phase of planning. It's a deep dive into everything you need to tackle, designed to get you equipped and ready for everything you need. And it also includes live Q&A with me, which is a super fun part, and it's really affordable. So for dates and more detailed information on all of this, go to thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. You'll find everything there that I have available for you to help you plan your wedding, whether it's with me online, on Zoom in real time, or through my digital courses. Okay, so that's done. Housekeeping done. So let's jump into the substance here of the final phase of wedding planning. Think of this stage as bringing your vision to life. This phase is all about execution, where all plans, decisions, and creative ideas that you've made and dreamt of all in these last months of wedding planning are finalized and come together to create the actual wedding day. It encapsulates the essence of seeing your hard work and detailed planning materialize into the celebration you've been envisioning. A day that truly reflects you and your partner in every detail. It's very exciting. If you've taken my advice with the first two phases of planning, you might have been having monthly and then bi-weekly wedding planning sessions with your partner or whomever has been your wedding planning buddy. Now, in this phase, you'll likely make those weekly. And in some instances, some of these tasks that we're moving into now will be done on a daily basis. It all depends on your schedule. If you've hired a month of coordinator, that person should be doing most all of this that I'm going to explain for you. But listening to this episode will help you know what to expect from your month of coordinators. So if you're not sure if they are doing all of this, check in with them. If you've hired a day of coordinator or you're using your venue's on-site coordinator, they are likely not going to do all of what I'm about to explain in this episode, but rather be more focused on being there at the venue on the wedding day and everything that's entailed just in those hours that you're at the venue. I suggest you listen to episode number 9. Titled The Wedding Planner, where we explain in detail all of the services that independent wedding planners offer, including month of coordination and day of coordination. Also, I did an episode last year, episode number 322, titled Exclusive Audio, The Last Phase of Wedding Planning. And that's where I spoke with Lindsay. She is a premium subscriber of the podcast. And we basically went over her experience in those last 3 months of her wedding planning journey. So it's really a great way to hear it from the perspective of someone who had just gotten married and what those last months meant to her and what she experienced. Here's a preview of the journey ahead for you in this final phase of planning. I'll start with an overview of the 6 big picture essential tasks and then dive deeper with some outlining of the subtasks and actions required for you to master each one of these big tasks. So, the 6 big picture essential tasks of the final phase of planning are as follows. Number one, your wedding day schedule. Number two, your ceremony layout. Number three, circling back to your vendors. Number four, the details you don't want to forget. Number five, the week of planning wrap-up. And number six, your rehearsal. Let's dive a little deeper into each one, shall we? All right. Number one, the wedding day schedule. Your wedding day schedule, also referred to by some in the industry as the wedding day timeline. I prefer the word schedule, tomato, tomato, you know what I mean? In fact, I call it your WDS for short. I say that all the time. Me, my assistants, Christy Matthews, WDS, that was our thing. So this is huge, okay? Your wedding day schedule is like the most valuable piece of documentation you might ever create for your wedding. I cannot stress enough how important this part is. Your wedding day schedule is your day's heartbeat. It's a heartbeat. Dictating the rhythm and flow over every moment of the day all the way into the evening. It helps inform vendors, right? As well as hold your vendors accountable. It's a plan down to the minute, down to 5 minutes, more or less, for all of the movement on your wedding day. And I'm not just talking about, you know, once you're at the venue. I'm talking about, you know, early in the morning when you wake up, when you're getting ready, when vendors are arriving, the setup, the transportation, guests, micro events, last dance, when is the dessert coming out, the strike, what time the venue has to be shut down. Everything, everything is included in your WDS. You will be editing it often in this last part of wedding planning, even in the last week, the last few days before your wedding, you will be in this thing and editing it. You can also use it to help keep your VIPs, your wedding party, your immediate family members, your besties, very well informed. You'll get a lot of questions as the wedding day gets closer. What time do we need to be there? Where are we getting ready? Is there transportation? Your wedding day schedule will answer all of these questions. This is the part of wedding planning where you really start to see things come together. I absolutely love when I work with couples to create their wedding day schedule. The meeting always starts with lots of questions, a little bit of nervous energy because they can't really envision the wedding day. There's all these, you know, things they've been thinking about, like, oh, I think my uncle will make a toast and I'm not sure when to do these toasts and I don't know, like, should we do the first dance right away when we walk in, you know, the configuration of the room is a certain way. You know, this is the way my sister did it. His mom mentioned this. The meeting always starts like this, but then it morphs into this excited energy because at the end of the meeting, they have a clear plan of how the wedding day will take place. And it is just like, it's very exciting. It's like, it's just a great feeling when you finish this wedding day schedule meeting and you've got your rough draft, but it's like answering so many questions for yourselves. Okay, so here's some quick tips. You're going to start creating your wedding day schedule, at least I recommend this, 30 to 45 days before the wedding. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, what time the ceremony is starting only and what time the last, you know, the venue has to be cleaned up. I mean, there's certain things that you know 9 months in advance. Because you're going to start hiring vendors and they're going to want certain timing of things. So, you know, you can't get your invitations out until you know what time the ceremony is, right? So we know that. We know the wedding date. We know based on your venue contract what time you have to end this wedding. Those type of things you already know. But 30 to 45 days out is when you really dive deep, and it is a lengthy process. It takes me with my clients, about 90 minutes, an hour to 90 minutes to create this wedding day schedule. And we do a lot. If you're doing this on your own for the first time, it'll probably take you a little more. It'll probably take you a couple hours. Make sure that you have all of your vendor contracts handy when you start creating your wedding day schedule. You will definitely need to reference them. So whether they're hard copies or they're in a Google Drive folder, have all of those ready and available to look at. When in doubt, ask your vendors, okay? If you don't have a month of coordinator or a day of coordinator, lean on your vendor team for questions about certain things. Go into Facebook groups. Ask your venue manager, coordinator that you've been working with. Email me, hello@thebigweddingplanningpodcast. But when in doubt, ask your vendors. They will have a lot of answers and opinions, frankly, on the order of things and how long things will take. Another thing when creating a wedding day schedule, I say this all the time. I've been saying this literally forever. Buffer time. Buffer, 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 buffer is your best friend. Round everything up in minutes. Let's say Google Maps says it's going to take 12 minutes to drive from the ceremony location to the reception location, even with traffic, 12 minutes. I want you to round that up to 15. That kind of a thing. If you think it's only going to take 3 minutes for people to move from one room to the other, it's not. If you've got 100 guests or more, from the time you ask them to move to the time their butts are in the seats, it's going to be 10 minutes. Trust me. So always buffer times, round it up, because inevitably, things will run late on the wedding day. The ceremony might start late. It might go longer than usual. You never know what can happen. And when you add buffer time into your schedule, you're going to make it up on the back end, right? Like at dinner time or after dinner. Now, I have a few episodes here that I want to recommend you listen to, okay? So episode number 363, titled The Wedding Day Schedule Tips and Tricks. I have a 3-part series on all about creating your wedding day schedule or wedding day timeline. Episode number 17, number 18, and number 20. Yeah, I don't know why we didn't do number 19, but whatever. That was a long time ago. So 17, 18, and 20. They're all about the wedding day timeline, and it's a 3-part. And then episode number 320, titled Wedding Day Transportation Help. These are all going to be super helpful for you to listen to when you're creating your wedding day schedule. And then, of course, I am here to help. I offer hourly consulting sessions available via Zoom. Just go to my website, thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com, and you'll find links to that to schedule time with me. Moving on to number 2, the ceremony layout, another big one. Now, we are not talking about your ceremony script here, okay? It's not the words that you're saying. That is something you will create with your officiant or celebrant. Your ceremony layout is a map and a list all on one page. It maps out who is standing at the ceremony stage or altar, right? You, your wedding party, whomever's marrying you, how you're standing, okay? Where your immediate family is seated in the first rows, right? We all know like first rows are reserved, but like who's sitting there? Who's on that first chair on the aisle? Is it a mom? Is it a dad? Is it a grandparent, right? So it shows that. And it also shows the order of how people are walking in and walking out, the order of the processional and the recessional, as well as the songs you've selected for everybody, including yourselves, to walk into. The ceremony layout is a one-pager that is laid out to answer and address all of the ceremony logistics, right? If you're into theater, the blocking of the stage. You will use this to help planning with your ceremony vendors. You'll use this to run the rehearsal or pass it on to the officiant or whomever is running the rehearsal. You'll use this as a guide for whomever is setting up the physical space of the ceremony, right? Like how many chairs, where the aisle is, if you've got a chuppah, you know, the ceremony stage, maybe you need a small table, maybe there's a microphone stand. And you'll also use it when you are lining up on the wedding day, right before the ceremony, lining up all of your wedding party, your family members on the wedding day, getting ready to walk in as part of the processional. You will share this page, this ceremony layout, with your officiant or celebrant, with anyone providing music for the ceremony. So that might be like a string trio or a DJ or a live band of sorts. If you're going to have ushers, you'll share it with ushers. Any vendors overseeing the ceremony space setup as well. When it comes to your ceremony layout, there are many options. Unless you are getting married in a house of worship, you don't have to follow any rules to celebrate your wedding ceremony. People can stand wherever you want. They can sit wherever you want. You can do it in a way that suits the two of you. And there are a couple of episodes I recommend you listen to. Episode number 176, titled The Ceremony Layout, where we talk to you about how to create this. And episode number 345, titled Ceremony Wisdom from Celebrity Officiant Clint Huft. All right, let's move on to number three, circling back to your vendor team. At this point, you are about 1 month away from your wedding day. You're almost into the home stretch. It's very exciting. This is when details come into play, like the really fine details. You need to communicate with your vendor team in a clear and concise way. Dot your I's, cross your T's. You've already refamiliarized. Let me say that again. You have refamiliarized yourself with each contract when you were creating your wedding day schedule. So now you need to send your first draft of that wedding day schedule to each vendor and ask for their questions, suggestions, or comments to confirm the details of the day and then make any adjustments and edits based on their feedback. If you have any questions for the vendors, and really you likely will, now is the time to ask them. So here's some of my quick tips for this part. If you've hired a photographer as well as a videographer, they really need to collaborate with one another. And I think this is something that gets overlooked often. And it's something I've learned just over the years with photographers and videographers. Sometimes these two vendors can really step on each other's toes. And I also mean that kind of physically. Like during the ceremony, you know, the photographer can get really frustrated with the placement of the videographer and vice versa. So it is to your advantage and theirs that you are absolutely sure that they know that, you know, they're working with one another. So be sure to send an intro email and introduce them and say, hey, you know, if you haven't already met, I don't know, but, you know, here's Sam, here's Tanya. I love you guys so much. Like, I'm so excited to see the footage, but I know you all need to collaborate and chit chat. So here's my introduction, you know, for the two of you. Ask them how much time they need for things. Like, you might not know, you know, here's what I want to do for getting ready shots. Like, how much time do you think we need for it? Formal portraits, first look, environment or detail shots, you know, I have a whole bunch of family heirlooms that are going to be in the cocktail reception room, and I want to make sure you get a photo of this, this, that, and the other, right? So really lean on them to find out if you have the right amount of time dedicated in your wedding day schedule to this kind of stuff. Adjust your wedding day schedule accordingly after you get feedback and confirmations from all your vendors. For example, the transportation company confirmed exactly when your driver will arrive and what the schedule is for leaving the venue. So you want to input that and all of those specific times into your wedding day schedule. Since you're checking in with your vendor team at this point, 1 month out, now is the time that you'll want to finalize your floor plans. Typically, the venue or your caterer will work with you to create floor plans or just hand you a blank one and, you know, you'll have to figure that out for your wedding day. I'm talking about the reception space, tables, chairs, bars, staging, where the cake table goes, if you have a really cool, you know, Instagrammable, you know, backdrop, the dance floor, where the DJ goes, if you have, like, if the DJ is bringing their own, like, 8-foot table with a skirt, if they're bringing lighting, if you've got a disco ball, you know, all sorts of these elements. If they have not sent a floor plan to you yet, it's time to get that from them. And in turn, if you're not getting that from anybody, this is the time that you need to get that figured out. Other things that you'll want to circle back to: updating your guest list as needed, the guest seating assignments, right? Escort cards, seating chart, place cards, constantly reviewing and updating your wedding budget spreadsheet and your payment schedule. Check in with the credit card company. Let them know you're getting married in a month. Some big charges are going to probably be coming through. Just make sure they're aware of it so you don't get any vendors calling you and saying, hey, your payment didn't go through. We've got a problem. Do yourself a favor. Number four, the details you don't want to forget. Oh, yeah, baby. Everybody's afraid they're going to forget, right? The often forgotten, slip through the cracks, oh shit, we never did that details that come at the end of wedding planning. It comes for everybody. The idea here is to take that ever-growing and chaotic to-do list of tasks that might be driving you crazy and organize them in this way. Two categories. Number one, repetitive weekly tasks. And number two, the varied spread out tasks / just random things to remember. So I'm going to give you just like a really short list of some of those items. There are so many, but I'll list some of the most important ones here. I have like a huge full checklist of this in my wedding planning bootcamp, so check in for dates on that. Okay, repetitive weekly tasks, some of them. Look at your wedding planning timeline. Remember that wedding planning timeline that you've been using since stage one of wedding planning? Make sure you're not forgetting any of the monthly tasks or details on that wedding planning timeline, because that thing really should go all the way until the night before the wedding. Your guest list, update it. You may have a stack of RSVPs waiting for your attention. Call anyone who has not RSVP'd by the due date. Your floor plans, adjust them. your seating table assignments as your guest count changes, right? You get some people last minute saying, oh my God, we can't come now. I'm so sorry. My grandmother's sick. I can't make it, whatever it is. So you're going to need to adjust floor plans, and seating table assignments. Send your guest count updates as you get them. This goes with the last one, and floor plans to all the vendors whose services will be impacted by this. So that's your caterer, your venue, potentially a rental company that's delivering and setting up according to the floor plan, your florist, right, for placing centerpieces or, you know, bud vases on the cocktail tables, those people. Update your wedding day schedule. You're always going to be updating your wedding day schedule. And, you know, at that month out mark, you've sent out that rough draft and you've asked your vendors for their input or in some cases missing information. So be sure that you're updating your wedding day schedule as your vendors send you their details. Your budget spreadsheet and payment schedule, another one. Again, this is all repetitive. A lot of repetitive stuff in this last phase of planning. Just ensure that everything's up to date. You know, you're plugging in numbers. You might have ended up adding on to some services of vendors. So you'll definitely want to update that spreadsheet, right? That vendor category, as well as the payment schedule and what amount is due. DIY projects, peeps. I know a lot of y'all are doing DIY. This is the time you got to finish them or forget them. It is time to evaluate the projects you have left and put time on your calendar to finish them or enlist help from family members or friends or decide it's time to just pay a professional to get her done. So that's some of the repetitive weekly tasks. Here's some varied spread out tasks / things to remember. Have you filled out all those forms or questionnaires by your various vendors, right? Some of them have their website portal and, you know, like the DJ, here's my portal, you know, fill this out. Some of them have something they've sent you as an attachment on email. Have you filled those out? Finalizing the formal group photo shot list for your photographer and emailing it. Super important. Finalizing the song lists for your DJ or band, right? What songs you want playing, what genres of music, the songs you don't want playing, the announcements, right? All the announcements that should be happening on your wedding day, which, by the way, should be listed in your wedding day schedule. Like, First Dance is At Last by Etta James, right? We want to be announced into the reception room as Mr. and Mrs. Martinez, right? All of these announcements and song selections should be figured out and listed in your wedding day schedule and sent to whomever is playing the music and emceeing. Is your caterer waiting on you for final decisions on the menu? If your venue requires a certificate of insurance from your vendors, do you have those from all your vendors yet? If not, you better get in there, get it done. Gratuities, vendor tips. Have checks or cash in individually labeled and sealed envelopes with their names on the outside for distribution on the wedding day. Choose someone to distribute those for you. If you're a paid subscriber, by the way, of this podcast, I have a tipping cheat sheet in our resource center for you that helps you figure out how much to tip who on the wedding day. How about your thank you cards? Have you been keeping up with those? Can you write some of them now? Can your partner help you write some of them? Can ChatGPT help you write some of them? How about your vows? Have you written your vows? Has your partner written your vows? Probably want to, you know, get started or perhaps finish those up. Do you have your marriage license yet? Do you need to go get that? Is that scheduled on your calendar? Is your wedding day emergency kit complete if you want one? Your bathroom baskets, right? Your tangible items of things that you want set up on your wedding day. I do have an episode recommendation for this part, at least those last few items, and it is episode number 370, titled Wedding Day Emergency Kits, Bathroom Baskets, and More. All right, moving on to number 5, the week of planning wrap up. This is the week of, peeps. This is everything that you'll do in these last 7 to 10 days before your wedding. Can you believe it's getting to this point? Like, can you envision this? This is exciting. This is all exciting, this last phase, but like, this is getting down to the last week. So some of this you've been working on since the middle phase of planning. Now is the time to finalize that work. Confirm final details with vendors, ensuring they have clear instructions and expectations for the day. Double check your guest count and meal selections with your caterer. Finalize any last minute adjustments to your ceremony and reception layouts. Now is also the time to finalize those tangible items, toasting flutes, family photos, special decor items that you've purchased, family heirlooms for display, ensuring they're unboxed, right? Unwrapped. The labels are off. Use the Goo Gone if you need to. And getting them ready and organized for whomever will be in charge of setting those up for you on the wedding day. Here's a few more things, another short list. There's so many more. I'll list some more here. Vendor final details, confirmation, emails, calls. Again, repetitive, repetitive, repetitive. Do they have the address of the venue? Don't assume they know which hotel it is, right? There's lots of Marriotts. There's usually in major cities, there's a couple of each hotel. So make sure they've got the actual address of the venue or potentially, you know, parking load-in instructions. Each venue has their own sets of rules. And maybe this is the first time some of your vendors are working at that venue, or maybe the venue has changed their policies. Don't ever assume anything. Do you or any of your staff have any dietary restrictions for dinner? That's a question you want to ask your vendors as well, because you're going to do vendor meals for them. Also, how many vendor meals do you need? Did you submit that information to your caterer along with any vendor food allergies? For your venue also, final counts. You may have given that to your caterer, but your venue needs to know as well. Be sure those floor plans are updated, right? And sent over. If the venue has created that floor plan for you, go over it one last time to be sure it is correct. You can never, never go over. I can't tell you, I've looked over floor plans 5 times and it's the 6th time that I go, wait a minute, we're missing 2 chairs at that table. Or wait a minute, this says we have 10 tables, but I'm only counting 9 on the floor plan. Ask your venue contact if the caterer has been communicating with them. They need to communicate and ensure they have all of the information they need. Arrival time, you know, are they using the full kitchen? Does the caterer have to take the trash away with them? All of this stuff needs to, you know, you can't assume that your venue is taking care of this, and you can't assume that the caterer has already done it. You need to ask these questions. By now, if you still have not heard back from any vendors on any of the questions you've asked, you have to call them. You have to keep up. I'm talking like you called them yesterday, the day before. You feel like an asshole. It doesn't matter. We are down to the wire now. You need to get answers. So it's text, call, email at this point. Hell, if you need to drive over there and be like, yo, my wedding is in 6 days. I need you to answer my email. Do it. You've got to fill in those missing pieces of your wedding day schedule. Don't get stressed by this, okay? This is just very matter of fact what you need to do. And go over the wedding day schedule line by line and be sure you're filling in any missing details, phone numbers. You know, if I've got transportation, I know, like, if let's say I have 2 buses coming and a limo, and like my getaway car for the couple at the end of the night, I'm not going to know who the drivers are or their cell phone numbers are until the transportation company has dispatched the drivers, which usually happens in, you know, 24 to 48 hours before your wedding. So even down to 24 to 48 hours before your wedding date is when you'll get cell phone numbers of, you know, your drivers, for example. And 72 hours prior to your wedding. So let's say your wedding's on a Saturday. I will send this out on Wednesday. Your finalized wedding day schedule. Now, I know I just said things like cell phone numbers for the driver won't be given to you 24 to 48 hours before the wedding. That's okay. But your vendors need a finalized wedding day schedule. So I'm talking 95 to 98% of the schedule is filled out. You send that out 72 hours prior. Because if you don't, then they start to get antsy. Like, I thought you said you were sending that. I need that. A lot of your vendors will need the final details in those last 72 hours because they need to arrange for staff, you know, whatever it is to administratively organize and schedule out what they need to do. So 72 hours prior to your wedding, final wedding day schedule goes out to all your vendors. All right. And finally, number six, the rehearsal. The ceremony rehearsal is your final run through before the main event, a crucial step in ensuring everyone knows their role and timing. It's also a moment of excitement and anticipation, a chance for your wedding party, your and your partner's families to come together in celebration of your love, of what's to come. So use this time to distribute final schedules, go over any last minute instructions, and most importantly, soak in the joy and love surrounding you. And remember, for your rehearsal, patience and flexibility are key. Your rehearsal sets the tone for your wedding day. The rehearsal is usually held the day before the wedding, but sometimes if the venue is not available the day before, it can be held up to 3 days prior to the wedding day. And sometimes your venue won't even be available for your rehearsal, but that's okay. If you got 6 chairs and some open space, you can have yourself a wedding rehearsal. It is important. Plan on the rehearsal lasting for 1 hour. From the time everyone shows up to the time you are finished. Who attends the wedding rehearsal? You and your partner, of course, you got to be there. The officiant or celebrant. The rehearsal is especially important, by the way, if the person that is marrying you is not a professional. I know a lot of you are asking friends or family members to officiate your ceremony. So the rehearsal is especially important in this instance. Who else attends? Your wedding party, your parents and your partner's parents, if they're around, anyone who will speak or perform during the ceremony, anyone that will walk down the aisle as part of the processional or recessional. Also, if you are having ushers, it is beneficial for them or at least one of them to be present at the rehearsal. And you don't have to have ushers. Not everybody has ushers, but it's usually a good idea if you have, like, I don't know, 75, 100 guests, more. So rule of thumb is usually one usher per 40 to 50 guests. Another plus is for attendance of the rehearsal is anyone performing or handling the music during your ceremony. So that's like ceremony musicians, DJ. It's not common for them to attend, by the way, unless they are being paid to do so. but it is super beneficial. So if they don't attend, what you'll have to do is just update them the next day. Like, okay, so you know this is the song I'm walking into, but you'll want to make sure that you don't start it until you get the thumbs up from Jerry. Jerry will let you know when to start each song, kind of a deal. And I recommend you listen to episode number 318, titled Rehearsals Are Necessary. Okay, so as we wrap up today's episode, remember, you got this. First of all, this is awesome. You're going to do it. This final phase is your opportunity to bring all the pieces together, creating a celebration that truly reflects your love and commitment. Stay organized, communicate clearly, and don't hesitate to lean on your resources, whether it's my digital courses, my live boot camps, or the supportive community we've built here together through this podcast. Thank you for allowing me to accompany you on this journey through wedding planning. You're on the cusp of an incredible celebration, a day filled with love, joy, and memories that will last a lifetime. So I'm raising my cup. Here's to the final steps in your wedding planning journey. And remember, I'm here to support you all the way to I do. Happy planning. Love you show. Oh, and don't forget to send me photos, okay? Send me photos of the wedding day. You know I love to post them on Instagram and I just love to look at them. Okay, bye.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag PlanThatWedding when posting. Follow on TikTok at Big Wedding Planning Pod. Have a wedding planning question or just want to get in touch? Send an email to hello@thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com or my personal favorite, leave a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Love you, love the show. Bye.